Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening. Sorry for the delay in getting started, but we are live right here in Houston, Texas. And you can see the beautiful medical center right behind me as the sun is going down, turning from dusk to darkness. And we're entering into the 8 o'clock hour, a little bit after that, here in the great state of Texas in Houston. If you want to get involved tonight, we have a great guest tonight, somebody that's been here before. But we're going to be talking a little bit deeper in the story and a little bit some of the aftermath and some of the positive things on the other side of it. There's several ways to get involved tonight. 888-627-6008. You can call right into the BBS radio station. And it sounds like Don is the one that's on shift tonight. And Don will be able to answer the phone with his great radio voice. Hopefully won't tell you a joke. And we'll just patch you right into our guest tonight and me. And you can just comment right along with us. And we would love to have you come in that way. Or you can text me at 832-396-6525 during our commercial break at 8:30. I'll check all the text. And if you have a question or comment, or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And my son is running that all the way up in Seattle, Washington, United States Army. And he will be glad to let me know that we have some comments or a question or a thought on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And while you're on there, go ahead and like it and join it and do whatever you need to do with that so we can keep track of you and love to have your comments throughout the week on that. You know, it seems like I always try to start off with just a few minutes. This is going to be really short, but a few things that happened or in my life or this week or what's going on in my world, in my mentality, in my stress level, in my anxiety, just in my daily walk. And I found out recently that sometimes you never want to let people who aren't going anywhere take you with them. I think a lot of times who we run around with, who we allow in our inner circle, will absolutely be the direction that you're going to end up going. And I personally believe sometime in life, there is a situation every now and then that comes into your world that you need to get rid of some of those fleas on your backside. And you need to get away from them. They're dragging you down. They're not bringing anything positive into your world. And I promise you, that's what's great, that when God takes you out of those situations, he doesn't leave you in the dusk. He doesn't leave you in the darkness. He will always bring you into light with somebody else in your life that can actually bring positivity to it, can bring calmness to it, that can eliminate some toxicity. You ever been in a toxic relationship with a friend and all they do when you run into them in the hallway at work or they text you, you go, oh, no, it's going to be one of those days. And it gives you that uneasy feeling. It's okay to eliminate them from your world. And let me tell you, if you're hanging around five confident people, you'll be the sixth. If you're hanging around five intelligent people, you'll be the sixth. If you're hanging around five positive people, you'll be the sixth. But if you're hanging around five lazy people, you'll be the sixth. If you hang around with five unsuccessful people, you'll probably be that sixth. If you're hanging around five idiots, congratulations, you'll probably be the sixth also. And I want you to write these five things down of the people that's in your life right now. They need to have these five qualities to be included in your inner circle. I mean, that's the ones that you allow to get close to you, that you share your dreams with, you share your concerns with, you share your stress with, you feel comfortable with. But they need to have these five qualities. Number one, they are committed to the same values that you are. If they are not, you say, oh, well, eventually, Greg, I'll be able to bring them up to my values. No, it's usually the other way around. They'll bring you down. Make sure they maintain your belief and your values. Two, they're going where you're going. They're supporting you. Three, they have a good, positive spirit. Four, they are of good character. And five, they want the best for you. They have your back. They're with you through thick and thin. They have you covered, and they will support you no matter what. They will absolutely know your darkest secrets and will never turn away. If they are just there on the good days and the days that you're having the party and you're hosting and you have all the money in the world, but when you're down and out on your luck and you need a friend to lean on and they're gone, then don't count on them to be in your inner circle. Your best friends are those who bring out the best in you. And I love people who can make you smile, who can make you laugh, who joke around with you, that are not so thin-skinned that when you're having a good day or a bad day, you say something offensive, they walk away, and they just throw up their hands and say, I'm done with you. I don't like people like that. I want the people around me that's going to be there thick and thin. And we become like those people that we associate with. So this week, maybe you need to look at who is in the vehicle with you emotionally, in your vehicle and headed in the same direction. And you never want to get into a vehicle with somebody that has never been there before and somebody that has no idea where they're heading. Don't let them be in your driver's seat of your life. Life is too short. It's too important. And we get to make an impact on people. And we need to have the people that surrounds us that loves, supports, cares, and will fight for you and what your dream is all about. Just a few thoughts that I had in my mind. I only put these things together about 5 minutes before we go on the air. So they're not too deep, just maybe what I'm going through. I also want to just take a second to say Happy Mama's Day to all the mothers. And if you still have a mom that is on this side of heaven, make sure you take time to be able to call them and say, hey, mom, you may not have been perfect because no moms are, no dads are. I know I wasn't. I'm still not. But I appreciate you bringing me into this world. I appreciate you loving me and supporting me and fighting for me, and you are special. If you have that, take the time before this day runs out. This isn't a Hallmark day. This is a day for you to give some love to your moms. Tonight, we have an awesome guest with us. Anthony Tuton is here tonight, and Anthony is a filmmaker from St. John's, Newfoundland in Canada, currently residing in Toronto. And he is known for his documentaries, such as, and listen to these documentaries, Restaurants Are Not Democracies, at Humor's Edge, and Teutons Photography in the Business of Making Memories, which won the Best Documentary Short at the acclaimed San Diego Movie Awards. He's founded Teuton Films, a production company focused on documentaries, dramatic indie features, and media development. We've had him on. It was about a year ago, but I want Don to bring Anthony on into the screen here so everybody can see his face instead of my ugly mug. And Anthony, good evening and welcome. How you doing, my friend?
Awesome. Thank you very much, sir. It's a very kind introduction.
Well, I appreciate seeing you. It's been a little over a year, or about a year that we first hooked up?
It's just less than a year. I guess I was introduced to you through Don Newsom and BBS after it went public about an incident that happened back in 2002 to me. And I went public with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation about that incident and the aftermath. And a lot has changed since I spoke to you. So yeah. I know.
Well, I remember, Anthony, we really spent a lot of time talking about the incident, and I want to refresh people's memories, but I don't want to spend the entire, 30, 40, 50 minutes on that, because you have things that have happened to the positive side since you have broken through. Before we get to the story, how hard, Anthony, and let's just be honest in the gut tonight with each other, because I know you are. And how hard was it to tell somebody the first time what happened to you?
It was brutally difficult because it was the head of the emergency ward at the hospital who happened to be a dear friend of my family's here in St. John's, Newfoundland. So I'm actually just a back up for a second. I'm at the Sheraton Hotel Newfoundland, which is a historic hotel here, and I'm here for other reasons, for a show that I'm developing.
Wonderful. With
NTV, Newfoundland Television, which was the first 24-hour television station in the world, started by Mr. Jeff Sterling and Don Jameson. And so that's why I'm here and doing this from the hotel. But what I wanted to tell you was I was reminded by being back in St. John's where the incident happened back on my father's birthday, December the 11th, 2002, of how challenging it was to have told Dr. Patel, the doctor at the time at the hospital, what had taken place, because it took me about 7 days to get there. And what I will say to you is that about this time last year, just, shortly thereafter, before I told you the story, and I think I was a little overcome because I was telling you from my girlfriend's place in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, which is, on the mainland, as we call it here in St. John's. But I think I was quite overwhelmed because I had gone public with the article, and I had, been speaking out about the incident, and I'd found out that it had happened to all these other people, but there was all this fear. And now I don't really have that fear. So
was the fear self-made?
Self-induced?
Self-induced. Was it something that, because men have a different wall we have to break out through to reveal? Because I don't know. I question if anybody would even like me, anybody would ever want to talk to me, anybody would associate with me after I reveal. What was the fear inside of you that you finally got the courage to
express? The fear associated with it had a lot to do with with people that I was interacting with telling me, well, there's no real issue. Hey, like this guy has done this to other people. And I was surrounded by powerful people growing up. And, I just thought, well, I guess I had all these flashbacks and stuff coming at me, and I felt this urge to, and I had an opportunity to go public, and I was rejuvenating my life, and I was surrounded by new people, and they were all really solid people, many of whom had been through things themselves, and I guess the fear was not self-induced as much as it was a reaction to the fact that, hold on a second, I don't understand why this was permitted. Did it have to do with the region? Did it have to do with the geographical location? Did it have to do with the people that were informed initially? And then I guess what I'm trying to say is I came full circle and I realized that the first people I told were probably as affected by it as I was, because it only happened because I had been drugged, because there was something slipped in my drinks. I say
And
drinks.
you were at a local bar,
Yeah, I was at a local bar. Yeah.
and
At the
somebody slipped something in one of your drinks,
Yeah.
and then what proceeded after that in their nutshell, Anthony?
In terms of my flashbacks, I came to as I was being attacked, and then I got, then I blacked out again, and then I woke up the next morning. But then like when I ended up in the hospital 6 7 days later, I you know this that I didn't know that people did this. I didn't know that this happened. I was very, very much aloof when it came to that. What we now realize is that Rohypnol was, if that was the drug that was used, because I would have no proof of that, and we would have no proof of that as being the drug that was administered. But Rohypnol was the commonly used, popularized drug. But it would have been administered in a way that there was no, like I had no understanding of it. So I didn't have, my body wouldn't have had any reactionary, common understanding of what was going through its system. So I look back, I've analyzed every single aspect of
I'm
this.
sure.
But when you combine with it that you're in a port city, the oldest city in North America, St. John's, Newfoundland, from a very prominent family, and this can't be played down, right? Like these things are very real, right? So there's an essence of, well, we have to hush this up, or we, can't talk about it. Well, you get to a point where, hey, well, why is Don Newsome interested in talking to me about this? Why is Dr. Gregory Williams interested in discussing this with me based on his experiences and his expertise? So then you realize, well, there's something else out there.
Yeah.
And I think that what's interesting about this, if I may say, is that we're tying it all back together, all full circle, by me being back in St. John's right now, having been here for a few days, and understanding there were some massive changes that took place here. From, I met with a few people in the last couple of days off to the side, and they said, look, there's some stuff has changed.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that came out of my discussions with you. I don't know if that just came out of my discussions with Don Newsome and BBS, but there's power in media, and
Yes.
there's the and you found that yourself. And not to belabor the point, but I think in terms of what I remembered, to tie it back to that, I remember very horrific things that I told myself not to forget, and then I got knocked out again, and then there was this sense of understanding. Oh, hold on a second. I got flashbacks of this, and I got, and the flashbacks were coming back intermittently. So they would come back like in my dreams, and then you'd be like, okay, is this real? Is this not? It would come back with respect to being in a certain relationship with a woman, you know, and because I'm straight, and that was another thing, right? It's like everyone questions your sexuality, and everyone questions this and that, and with respect to it, and it does
So
quite a.
while you were drugged, you were attacked, you were raped, correct?
Yes.
Yes. By one of your in your memory or more than one?
I don't know if it was more than that.
But you
I
do know it was at least one.
yeah. And I know who the individual is.
Okay.
And the problem is that I was told, that, we're talking about 50 plus other people that this happened to. Now, you got to remember, I'm here at the hotel, and I can, after saying this tonight from here, walk outside and maybe never be trusted again, or maybe face a set of hoodlums. That I'm not. What I was trying to tell you before is, I had some fear when I was vocalizing this to you before, and I remember there was one or two friends that popped in on the private chat that we had, and I haven't spoken to them and since, and I'm not scared. And so that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know if the fear was inborn, but I do know that I'm not scared now.
Yeah. A lot of people, when this kind of event happens, at least from the experience of me going through what I went through, and then plus talking to a lot of people for the last 5 years on this program, and meeting people across the nation, what benefit would have had for you to lie about something like this? It would be no benefit whatsoever. Did people doubt that your story was even true? Or because of the massive amount of people that was involved from it happening to them, you were just one of the many.
It's so interesting to hear you say that, because from this vantage point now, I can calmly say that you're 100% correct. One would think that it would have mattered. I was just telling the truth. I have an understanding right now of the scenario, having reached all levels of government, all levels of power. Having said that, I again have no fear, and I'm just reiterating that, but there's specific reasons for that. And I think that it's important to note that we could probably reduce this very quickly and say that the people that were running the drugs were probably associated in some capacity with the people that wanted to ensure that this not become public.
Yeah.
And I'm walking a very fine line in saying that. However, I have nothing to lose. So, I think it's just unfortunate, because I've had a couple of others. One person actually came up to me today, coincidentally, and he had he had a very similar thing happen to him. So he was living in Ontario. He ended up on the street, and he and I'm not lying about this. Like, hey, this is, his mother actually worked here at the hotel years ago, and we just coincidentally bumped into each other. So it's very, 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 very interesting and peculiar how, for a period of time, it was uncool to speak out about what was happening. Now, it was accepted that this was happening to women across the board. It was accepted. It was not accepted that it was happening to men. And it was not allowable for men to speak out against that which was happening to them.
And I
That's
want to let everybody know it is out there in huge numbers that we are ignoring and not acknowledging. such a massive amount that the world needs to open up their eyes, because there's another side of this darkness that is affecting men. It's affecting boys all around this world.
And I think what I'll say is that I think what started to happen with the powers that be is that, because there's a fine line between, obviously, if you know, the thin blue line, there's a fine line between what's legal and illegal. But I think that what happened, if I may be, you know, very, very, very much upfront about it, is that the individuals who were running the drugs had this type of scenario, which is a byproduct, so rape, you know, and in my case, it was aggressive, brutal rape, from what I can remember, and what's embedded in my DNA from it, in terms of my memory. They had this happening to their own offspring, to their own kids, to their own family members, their own wives, you know, their own husbands. Wow. And I think that that's what happened. And I think that's what took Rohypnol off the street. But you had Rohypnol, and then you had its derivatives. And that's what was being used as a means to conduct what I believe is a sanctioned rape.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be about a minute and 20 seconds. On the other side of this break, Anthony, I want to find out now. It's been a year later. We've talked about what's happened. Now, what in that year time? How have you grown? How has it impacted you? How have you dealt with those dark days? And how have you moved beyond? And can you find any ray of light in that darkness that you had to endure in your life that you're using now to help other people, and maybe to have this production company have a different insight on how they deal with business, how they deal with people? We're going to talk about all that on the other side of this. 888-627-6008. Hang with us. We'll be right back. And you will not want to miss this final segment with Anthony Tuton. Be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All righty, welcome back. We have Anthony Tuton all the way from the great country of Canada. And he is residing right now in Toronto, but he is now, I think, in St. John's, Newfoundland, in a hotel with us and sharing with us his life story, just not his whole life story, but what has happened to him in the recent years. And on the other side of the attack and the somewhat healing that you've had to do. Anthony, number one, just between two friends, you doing okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm better than okay.
Good, good. That's awesome. Okay.
I'm a little red in the face because I had a pretty intense day. I was gifted some stuff by my grandfather today, so it was very emotional. And today's Mother's Day, and I'm away from my mother, and my girlfriend's away from her mother having passed away, and her mother passed away, and
Yeah.
it's really sad and about about that. But I was really looking forward to this. I got to say, I actually got the opportunity to meet with a couple of people, to say nothing of the individual I mentioned earlier, who had the same thing happen to him. But I had an opportunity to meet with some interesting people today. So I've had like really positive interactions, but I'll tell you, man, it's like it seems like there's a vacuum with respect to this whole Rohypnol thing and this whole drugging thing. It seems like, kids that were just coming up and they're partying, they had, no concept of what was being, put into their drinks, or to, everybody does certain things, but there was no understanding of what that element really was. And I think therefore you have this vacuum of individuals who have had something happen to them. Some remember what took place, some don't. But they know that something very, very, very drastic happened to them. And we just had no understanding of this taking place, so taking place. So you have, over a decade or 2 decades in my case, having passed. And
Yeah.
what does that mean? When you go in and if you need therapy, how do you transcend that, or and how do you convey it?
Have you found healing? You say you're doing better than good. When I just ask you how you're doing, and is that every day, or you still have ups and downs, and things still affect you? And what's some of your wisdom for people that's dealing with this and maybe haven't talked to anybody about it yet?
One thing I'll tell you is it's not every day.
Yeah.
So there are moments when, like everybody else, I get down or I get frustrated. But I think about Rocky and I think about Stallone and I think about, it's not how hard you, I said this to you before, as well, I reiterated it. It's not about how hard you get hit. It's a, or about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. You got to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's what I have attempted to do, and I think I continue to do. I think I have a better understanding of the fact that, a lot of my problems were reactionary. I was getting flashbacks. I was having things happen to me in my dreams, in my nightmares, so I was reacting, and I'd lash out or whatever the case maybe. I was not as calm or understanding. But then you look at the ferocity of this type of incident and the horrendous nature of it, and you think, well, where was that, tough guy, that big, hero like guy? And trust me, I had many of those in my life over the years, but to, pluck me out. And then you start to remind yourself, and you remember that there were people like yourself, right now, that I can speak to. Like there were these individuals who, and like Don Newsome, that and Jeff Sterling, and et cetera, and individuals who would, pluck you out of the darkness, to use to borrow a term from your show's title. But it's just, I think, really unfortunate that so many individuals have been impacted by rape,
Yes.
and in this case, it's truly the druggings. Like there's no, like the fact of the matter is, I mean, I'll put this out there. The individual who hurt me, I was told in no uncertain terms by the police that he said it was consensual. Okay, well, that should have fallen on deaf ears immediately. How in where's my voice? as a victim. So then you look at the, so what I've learned since that point is that you look at the guys that, every block is controlled, not getting into conspiracy theories here, it's a fact. Everybody knows that you can't cross one block and go into another and pull something off or pull a fast one. Whether you're in Hamilton, where I was when I last did this interview, whether you're in St. John's, Newfoundland. A fact is that, where were the brothers? Where were these guys? And so I've had some, to answer the question, I had some of them come to me. I had some of them reach out to me. I had some of them tell me what's actually going on and what was going on.
Tell me, Anthony, how has this affected relationships with you, your girlfriend, your family, and your inner circle of friends? How has that affected, pros, cons, and how has that hurt or drawn closer?
I think ironically, it's drawn everything closer, but maybe that's not that ironic.
Right. True friends would always draw closer.
I think that's what you were saying in your introduction as well. So it ties into that. I think there's a massive corollary between where you and I were, chatting initially and what was being said, and where we are right now. And I think that's why we're back talking to one another, because I believe that we have this thing called freedom of speech that, for all intents and purposes, everybody scares you away from. Maybe that's where the fear is. They scare you away from wanting to, from speaking out, or the desire to speak out, or the need to speak out. And I think that what's really interesting, especially with an individual like yourself, is that you not only understand, but you've decided through understanding to create an avenue for others to speak out. And I think that by virtue of doing that, it allowed my relationships to become more formidable and to be more let me put it like this. When I informed my mother, and when I informed, who's in Halifax, and I informed other individuals of my interview coming up tonight with you, they knew exactly who I was talking about. They knew that I had spoken with you about a year ago. And so that means that they've remembered something from it. And everyone was super cool about it, like in a positive way, not cool in a negative, offhanded way. And I think it's really positive all the way around, because I also think that, I forged a relationship with the Newsom brothers, through having spoken with you and others through the network. And I know what they're doing is very important. So when you tie it all together, this may not be fodder for, mainstream media right now, but it will be eventually. This
Don and Doug and Thomas and all the everybody at BBS Radio are very, very special people. And they
well,
don't allow anybody to come in and bully pulpit them to where they have to do this, they have to do that. They let us run the show the way we want to, and they support people coming on and sharing their stories. And you don't find that just everywhere. That's why I will never go to a different format or different station. I'm with them for as long as I'm doing this. They are great people.
exactly. And I think, Dr. Williams, this is the mainstream. This is now becoming the mainstream. We are at a point right now where media is shifting dramatically. So whether the mainstream adopts this format or you guys become the mainstream, it's one or the other, or both. And the money and the financing and the advertising deals and the sponsorship that follows. Well, what I'll tell you is, we're in new territory, There's an individual who I spoke to recently who told me that what I did helped more people than I could ever envisage. That alone, and you can't see these people, they're not, but what I'm just saying, I say thank you for having provided me the pulpit upon which to speak. My relationships have become more solid.
Yeah. And that's the key is you have to turn this terrible event into something that doesn't tear you down, but it builds you stronger. And where did you get the grit of saying, I'm going to survive. I'm not going to give up on this. I'm going to plow through this. And this is not going to be the day that I lay down and die. I'm going to keep taking the hits and keep going forward. How did you find that? Where was that at?
There's a famous poster about probably the greatest songwriter to ever come out of Canada, Neil Young. And
Yes.
it's a poster, and it says, "What would Neil Young do?" Okay. So my favorite artist is a guy named Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, and
Yeah.
I said, I remember this poster because it was at my buddy's house, and I grew up around it and stuff. I said, "What would Eddie do?" And that's honest to God, like that is it. That is it. What would Eddie do? What would Neil Young do? What would Jeff Sterling do? What would Dr. Gregory Williams do? What would Don
Was there
Newsom do?
is there any tricks, techniques, anything that you have found? Hey, wait, for me, this helps me. I'm always looking for new ideas to be able to make it through a rough patch. Is there anything journaling or getting, diving into your work more or getting away and breathing techniques, whatever it is, what works for you when you start feeling that anxiety cup? Uh-oh, it's getting to the top, getting ready to pour out. How do you bring it back in? What do you do personally, if you don't mind me stepping into that mental ward of yours?
So there's a breathing technique, or there's a set of breathing techniques. I do meditation, but I also always take into account. So I always try to learn from other people. So there's an individual, my friend, who I have connected you with, that I hope to connect further with. He's well trained, and he's taught me some TM. Transcendental meditation, and then there's some breathing techniques that my father introduced me to years ago, and I use those. But I think more than anything, it's finding, there's this, I don't know if you ever trained, like I used to power lift, and I was into martial arts, Bruce Lee's martial art, Jeet Kune Do, and I was into, and that's, by the way, how I know that I was brutally raped the way that I was, because, and drugged, for that to have happened, because when I came to, I remember trying to fight back, and it being like, it's really chaotic, and me seeing the face of the individual that hurt me, and knowing that, like, there's no way that this would have happened. Like, I would have ended up with a broken arm or like it had to have been a drugging, it had to do all these, factual things. So there's techniques that I learned through martial arts, breathing techniques with my father, my friend, but that taught me what he did and has continued to teach me. And has great concern for the fact that certain things have affected me to the extent that they have, because he remembers me being different years ago. We went for a long time without seeing each other, right? He was my first board first roommate at boarding school, Ridley College in St. Catharines, Ontario. And I learned a bunch of stuff, but I guess the prevailing thing is that Rocky stuff. Like the, just keep moving forward. Like, And it reminds me, I think it ties in. I think it's brilliant what you said at your intro. It ties into that. It ties into the concept of no fear. It ties into the concept of we may have some techniques upon which we can deal with some of this stuff, or maybe we don't, and we have to, but we have to move forward. You know, we're moving forward by definition, no matter what, in our lives. But I would be more interested in asking yourself, you know, what you did to get to the place that you are at right now, to be able to ask a guy like myself what I did, you know, to move forward. Because, yeah, sorry.
I'm just hard-headed enough to not lay down. If you ever want me to do something that you don't think I'll ever do, tell me I can't do it, and it'll get done because I just have that drive. You don't tell me I can't. I'll prove you wrong every time. And I just had that I hear the negative stuff in my head still from my dad, from everybody that was around me as a teenager, and that was raping me and things of that order. Weekly. And it's just like, I'm going to rise above all of this and then try to help. And the only reason I do this still, in the physical condition that I'm in now, is because I want to help one more person. And having people like you on that can help me learn more, we're both helping each other. So I just love that we've been able to hook arms and walk down this journey together for the last year. Even though we don't talk every day, but we know who each other, and we have that connection that we can always connect with each other anytime. And then be able to say, hey, you doing okay? Anything I can do for you? And what we can do to help other people. And I think that's where my healing comes from and drive.
So that's amazing, Dr. Williams. And I'll tell you something. When you have a biker come up to you who's a patch biker and tell you did something good. That may, I don't know how that resonates, and I may get killed for saying that, but I don't think so. So I think that when you have that happen in a different region than where it took place, and they may or may not have seen your interview, they may or may not know who you are, you know, that kind of vibe, and then you start to piece it together, and you're like, and when you have a couple of police officers apologize to you for what happened back in Newfoundland, and they happen to be Toronto Police Service. So you have these things happen. And when have they happened? Well, since I spoke with Dr. Gregory Williams. So you put it together, and then you piece it all together, and you say, well, what was that poster? Well, that poster was, what would Neil do? Right? I didn't say Neil Young. I have to correct myself. I said, what would Neil do?
Oh, nearly. We only have like a minute left, Anthony. Is this going to affect? Or are you doing anything in your back of your mind of doing some type of production, some type of work in the filmmaking world that you live in and are pro at? Anything that you ever thought, hey, when I have some time, I'm going to do something maybe in that world to be able to help get this word out. You ever thought about?
Yeah, so I'm writing a script right now
Ah.
for an independent feature film called Baptism by Fire.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, so I got the title from a interview that Bono, the lead singer for the band U2, little Irish band you may have heard of.
Yep.
But joke, I said half joking when I said that. The Massive. No, band, but he was. They were once asked. He and the Edge. They were asked about early on in their existence when they were coming up as a band. So, you know, how does it feel to have all this, you know, massive following to be such, you know, massive, practitioners of this great rock and roll and whatnot, and they said, well, it's kind of like baptism by fire. It's kind of, Bono said, it's kind of like baptism by fire. And I saw, I resonated with that, and I'm like, that's what my experience has been. It's been a baptism by fire. The fire was the rape. And it's the rebirth from that. So
Wow, that
I'm
could be
right.
powerful. I look forward to hearing more about that when that starts into production and stuff. That'd be great.
No, I'm still writing it and I'll be done in the next little while. So I
Yeah.
just want to let you know. But
Anthony, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks so much for taking the time, you and your girlfriend in Newfoundland. And I just appreciate you reaching out to me and saying, hey, let's get together again and sharing more of your story with our audience. And I'm here if you ever need anything. And you have a friend in Houston, Texas, for life. So if you ever need anything, you're welcome to come back on any time. Thanks so much.
that's very kind of you, Dr. Williams. Thank you so much. God
I
bless.
applaud your courage. Keep up the good work, my friend. Take care. As we do each and every Sunday night, I always like to close the program. No matter what you've heard, no matter what you're dealing with, and you may have a story that makes Anthony and I's look small. It may have only been half of that, too. It doesn't matter. Each thing that happens in your life that traumatizes you, I want to let you know, and please listen to this as we close. There's hope, folks. There is hope for you. Never give up. Keep moving forward. Have that Rocky Balboa, I'm going to keep on keeping on and not give up attitude. Because when you give up on hope, you give up on life. And we can't do that. There's so much life left for you ahead, and you don't have to do it alone. If you want to call 832-396-6525, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd love to be able to connect with you and talk with you more on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. On behalf of Don, Doug, and TJ Newsome at the awesome BBS radio station, I'm Greg Williams. Thank you for joining us tonight, live from Houston, Texas. And join us next week for another live edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Happy Mama's Day, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.